Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome and thank you for joining us on this 28th day of September for our money article on chocolate. Did you know that chocolate is big business? Good day, listeners. We're so happy you're joining us again today for our second day of the future of chocolate. And this is our money article, but we're talking about one of my favorite topics, chocolate. And yesterday we talked about See's Candy and the future of chocolate and what's happening in this industry. And today I have with me in the studio.
This is Liz.
And Catherine.
Okay, and we're all chocolate lovers.
Yes, we are.
If you were with us yesterday, you heard all about that. You'll know that we're kind of sad over the thought of maybe the rising price of chocolate. Mm-hmm. But we have a couple things we'd like to share with you about what we talked about yesterday in case you weren't able to join us. Liz?
Well, first of all, we began with this little description of this famous candy company in America, See's Candies, and they have enjoyed 92 years history. And they're very proud of their legacy, and they're so proud of this idea of being able to produce old-time, old-fashioned candy. But because of this, you would think that they're able to stay strong in the industry, and they are a big company, and yet they do have to make some changes because the chocolate business is seeing that there are a lot of unfortunate predicaments that they have to address.
Okay.
Well, kind of along with what Liz said, I think one thing for me personally, I would love to go and visit this factory and watch them produce these chocolates because the way that it was described yesterday made it seem so idyllic, something I'd really, really like to see before they're forced to change the way that they do things. Right now, they're old-fashioned, and, you know, there's still a lot of people working there. But if this problem really affects them in the future, it may change. So I would like to see it.
What I thought was very cool is that they have people between 80 and 89 years of age still working there. And they said that they measure their decades of employment by their number of hip replacements. Okay, and it was a really cute description of the factory and the way that it works. Mm-hmm. And also it introduced one of the all-time popular comedy shows in the United States, the I Love Lucy. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to say today, if you haven't seen that particular episode of Lucy and Ethel working in a chocolate factory, you should. You will laugh. And in English, we say laugh your head off. It is so funny.
Yeah, I think I will go look at it as soon as we're finished here.
And also, remember that chocolate is huge business, and today we're going to take a look at how companies are having to switch what they do. So let's continue right now with our reading and turn in your magazine to page 43, and let's read the first column.
Switching strategies. Chocolate is an impulse item, an indulgence, said Marcia Mogolonski, an analyst at Mintel, but consumers have become price-sensitive to chocolate. The economy is so bad that people are actually cutting back on their consumption. So, what's an Oompa Loompa to do? Switch up the chocolate strategy. Companies are looking to countries not known as major cocoa producers, such as Vietnam and China, to boost production. Mondelez International Incorporated, owner of brands such as Cadbury and Toblerone, said it would invest $400 million in the next decade to improve cocoa farming communities and help boost productivity. In the U.S., advances in technology and equipment contributed to layoffs, causing chocolate employment to slide 2.2% a year on average since 2007, according to research firm IBIS World. Simultaneously, chocolate companies are trimming wages to cut costs and boost profit, according to researchers.
Yeah, yeah. So our reading talks about how companies are switching or changing what they're doing in order to make chocolate more affordable and to stay in the industry. And I love this first sentence, chocolate is an impulse item. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Something that you buy all of a sudden. It's something that you buy because you feel like it. It's not because it's something that you need on a daily basis.
You mean it's not a staple item?
Unfortunately, no. I think of here is like whenever I go to the grocery store and whenever you go to check out, a lot of times, at least in America, they have just racks and racks of chocolate. And that's where they get you, is that you're finished shopping and you think, oh, I need a treat. I'm going to grab a chocolate bar. Or that's what I do. So mm-hmm. that would be an impulse buy.
Right. You hadn't planned on it.
Yeah.
Right. Is there anything else you impulse buy? Shoes.
I'm pretty guilty about buying books on impulse.
Oh,
I walk into a bookstore and then I think, oh, that looks good. I'll take it.
Okay. And so we see an impulse item or an indulgence. Indulgence here, what does that mean?
Something that you buy because you want it, not because you need it. Like we said, it's an impulse buy. It's something you want. You don't have to have this item.
You buy it more for an enjoyment mm-hmm. purpose
right.
as opposed to a necessity.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we often say, yes, I'm indulging in some chocolate here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another that's the indulgence.
Uh-huh. Right. You won't die if you don't have it.
Yes, again, once again, it's sadly not a staple item. So this is a very nice phrase from this analyst, Marcia Mogenlotsky from Mintel. Okay, she's one of the research companies that we've been talking about. And she goes on to say that consumers have become price sensitive to chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's true?
Right. Because of the economy, people are becoming price sensitive. And so one of the first things that people think about when they're trying to save money is get rid of the things I don't need.
Mm-hmm.
What I really need is what I keep. But what I don't want, get rid of those.
Yeah, what I don't need, I get rid of or don't buy.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. I think, like Linda mentioned a few minutes ago, maybe Starbucks is something like that. Those coffees that we get just for fun, maybe we try to cut those out when we're starting to feel the pinch of the recession.
Right. So we make coffee at home instead of going out to buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can't – it's hard to make chocolate at home.
I know. I only buy that when I really, really need a treat.
Right. So people are cutting back. Mm-hmm. It's the economy is this bad mm-hmm. that people are cutting back on their consumption of not just chocolate but other mm-hmm. like snack items.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's saying a lot because, I mean, that's just a few dollars here and there. Like sometimes at first I used to think, oh, this $1, $2 candy bar, coffee drink won't do anything. You know, it won't make a difference. But sometimes you just have to get rid of things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I love this. Nick Stone said, what's an Oompa Loompa to do?
That's a great image. Okay, so an Oompa Loompa is a character from an American movie called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And they were little men who worked in this chocolate factory. And they were orange and had bright green hair. And they were these little creatures that ran around singing songs. But, yeah.
And they made the candy.
Yeah.
In Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you want to, you can get the book too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I don't think I've read that one.
And the movie was here a few years ago.
Right.
We went to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, what's an Oompa Loompa to do? Switch up the chocolate strategy. This is kind of an interesting phrase, to switch up something. What does mm-hmm. that mean, Liz?
You need to change, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm. So why did they say switch up and not just switch? Do you have any ideas why they – I was trying to think about why they're using this phraseology.
Well, a couple of things that come to my mind is the imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we just got done mentioning the Oompa Loompas, these people who work.
Mm-hmm.
These characters who are working. It's a factory, that mindset. And so when you switch up, you think about all these switches that you have to push up, these little knobs and levers, and that's what I see. And mm-hmm. so perhaps the writer is just trying to stay consistent with the image that she has created already.
At the chocolate mm-hmm. factory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I hear the phrase switch up, I think more of like move things around, like kind of move things around, try to do things differently to make a difference, to mm-hmm. make a different mm-hmm. change.
Okay. And we're seeing here that these companies, chocolate companies, are looking to countries not known as major cocoa producers. But when we think of cocoa producers now, what are the major countries that we think of?
I think of countries like in Africa or in South America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more of South America, maybe Central America.
And Central America
yeah.
as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of cocoa production there.
But now where are companies looking?
Well, we see here Vietnam and China.
Okay, and they hope that they will help them to boost their production.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, actually, I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, that is a big trend now. China is producing a lot more cocoa. We actually talked about this a couple months ago where the farmers in China were switching to coffee production as opposed to tea production. So this is a major trend right now.
Right.
Right. That's way over in Yunnan province.
Mm-hmm. Southern China.
Yeah.
Right. And then Vietnam is definitely famous for its coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not?
Oh, is that where the most expensive coffee is or something?
Southeast Asia is famous for very expensive coffee. And
right.
so Vietnam now is growing in its economy. And so people are looking, maybe they can help out with the cocoa beans.
Yes, which is very smart because they have to think of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking outside of traditional markets for places that can help to increase. It says to boost or increase productions.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that the owners of these two brands, Cadbury and Toblerone, mm-hmm. now some people say this brand, Toblerone, is Toblerone.
Mm-hmm.
That the Italian in Liz is coming out when she says that. Okay, and Cadbury, they're both very famous brands of chocolate. And they said that they plan on investing $400 million in the next 10 years to improve the cocoa farming communities mm-hmm. In these countries to help boost productivity, which said to me, that's a lot of money to invest. And mm-hmm. they must be thinking long term as mm-hmm. to getting that money back.
Right. Mm-hmm. 10 years. It's a 10-year plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think that they're really looking toward the future of chocolate, like our title says. I think that there's a lot of things that they've got to work on since there is a lot of climate change. And it said yesterday, botanical disease. They've got to have money to deal with these problems, to try to find ways to solve it and overcome their deficiencies.
Right. I also think that they're looking for the right climate, you know, in these
mm-hmm.
countries
mm-hmm.
because,
that's
you know,
right.
we don't – I'm from the northern part of the United States. You're not growing cocoa up there.
No.
Yeah.
So they're looking across that same latitude across the world, you know, to see what which countries that are equal to mm-hmm. where Africa and South America are, or Central America, that can support that kind of crop.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on and take a look at the next paragraph.
Okay. Well, in the United States, it says that advances in technology and equipment contributed to layoffs, which caused chocolate employment to slide 2.2% a year on average since 2007.
Right. So that means that what's happening?
Well, basically, like it says, advances in technology, basically what we've seen before is that machines are replacing people. So you need fewer employees. So people are it says layoffs here. That means that people are getting laid off where they're basically they lose their jobs either for a short time or permanently.
Okay. Well, that's a common problem we see across any industry where mm-hmm. because of, prices, you're trying to save money. And so we unfortunately see two things happening. Either you're people get laid off, they lose their jobs because it's cheaper to have machines instead doing the work. Or we see here too, moving on later part of the paragraph, companies are trimming wages. So basically, all right, we'll keep our workers, but you're not going to get paid as much as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A lot of companies are cutting back to not full-time workers, mm-hmm. which also means that they don't have to pay benefits.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very common now.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are some companies even I've heard of in different industries, like the newspaper industry, where they put their workers on furlough, where they're told to they don't work for a certain amount of time, and then they come back and work, and then it rotates through the company who's on furlough and who's not.
And you don't get paid during that
you
furlough
do
time.
Not. It's like a kind of like a forced vacation,
mm-hmm.
unpaid.
Right. So trimming wages means cutting wages, okay,
mm-hmm.
so that they can, of course, boost profit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's go on and take a look at the second column on this page, and let's listen to our reading, Targeting the Next Generation.
Targeting the Next Generation. Manufacturers also are creating innovative new chocolates and manufacturing methods to try to differentiate themselves from competitors. Companies are also trying to entice body-conscious consumers, which IBIS World believes will give organic and dark chocolates a boost in coming years. and candy sizes are shrinking. By the end of this year, all of Mars Incorporated's chocolate brands will be available only in 250-calorie pieces or less. There's also a rebranding effort underway at See's. The website underwent a facelift to draw more online shoppers. A new catalog with less clutter and new fonts and images debuted around Valentine's Day. And See's, which had focused on grandmothers and great-grandmothers, is now targeting young mothers in their 30s. The company says it needs the broader demographic to beat out intense competition. We just know that for growth, we need to onboard a new fan base, said Tracy Chioffi, See's Vice President of Marketing and Advertising. It's a difficult dance, but it's one we have to do.
So we're continuing on the second column on page 43, and we're seeing that manufacturers are creating innovative new chocolates and manufacturing methods to try to differentiate themselves from competitors. So differentiate just means they need to stand out in the market. Why do you buy this brand of chocolate over that brand of chocolate? Well, as I said earlier to our panelists here, I like the old chocolates. And then Liz came up with one and it sounded pretty good. So, okay. So innovative new chocolates, maybe new flavors they're putting into them.
Right.
What else would be innovative new chocolates?
Maybe just the way that it looks, possibly. Kind of changing up the way, I don't know.
Yeah, well, packaging. Shapes. Yeah. And the shapes will make a huge difference. Also, going beyond just the idea of candy, you can also be selling chocolate, something else.
Right.
So I know for some places that probably cocoa drinks, packages of cocoa powder that you can just add hot water and you can enjoy your chocolate beverage.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, very popular, especially in colder climates.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there are also new manufacturing methods. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about See's Candy's manufacturing plant yesterday, which sounded pretty cool, actually. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to have to change. And all of this really is to make these companies stand out. Mm-hmm. And make people notice them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, what else are companies trying to do?
Well, they're trying to entice body-conscious consumers. So if you entice someone, you're trying to attract someone or something by offering something good or pleasant to them.
And body-conscious, I think this is an interesting phrase, body-conscious consumer.
Well, we were talking yesterday about health-minded U.S. consumers and how they're eating more fruit now, and therefore they're not eating that much chocolate as they would before. So now we're trying to address this problem here by trying to think of ways to entice them. So if you're body conscious, that means you're very sensitive about how you look, about your health, about whether you're fit or not.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're very, very aware of the kind of things that you put into your body, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like Liz said, the things that you eat, you're very conscious of what you're doing to it.
Okay, and how you look, because people associate chocolate with gaining weight.
Right.
A lot of people are conscious of that. And this is according to IBIS World again. This is the research firm, and very interesting. They've been around for a long time. And because this is forecast, it says that this company actually specializes in long-range forecasts, which is why when I thought about that, I thought, okay, they're a good company to be looking at here. And they believe, okay, so this is their forecast, believes that this will give organic and dark chocolates a boost in the coming years.
Yay!
So why are you saying yay over there?
Well, I love dark chocolate.
Uh-huh.
Personally,
dark chocolate is healthy.
Well, see, that's one reason why they're going in this direction, trying to appeal or entice body-conscious consumers. They would tell people, actually, let's not be quick to just assume that chocolate's not good for you, that you'll get fat. But instead, think about organic. It's healthy. Mm-hmm. When we see anything organic, we tend to think that, oh, that's good for me. And dark chocolates, we're told that it has its the antioxidant benefits of like eating fruit.
Right.
So have a dark chocolate.
And the darker the chocolate, or the higher percentage of cocoa bean, the less percentage of sugar.
Right.
So, I mean, I've had some dark chocolate. I love dark chocolate as well. It's actually quite bitter.
Yes.
Yeah. I think sometimes that makes it hard for people to eat, though, when it's more bitter.
Mm-hmm. But still, if you're body conscious, you might be willing. And also, it's good for your heart. You know,
right.
I mean, at least that's what studies are now showing. I always like to say that before
Lots of health benefits.
Yes. Health benefits.
So therefore, all this will create a boost in coming years.
That's right. The other thing that's happening is that candy sizes are shrinking.
And not a bad idea.
Well, I don't think this is anything new. You know, in packaging of a lot of items, if companies do not want to raise their prices, they just decrease the amount that they put in them. So we're seeing that candy sizes are shrinking. So, you know, if you didn't want to buy that huge candy bar, you might be willing to buy a smaller one. Make you feel better about you. You're so virtuous.
You wouldn't feel so guilty for buying the smaller one as opposed to the bigger one.
That's right. So what does it say is going to happen by the end of this year?
It says all of Mars Inc. chocolate brands will be available only in 250 calorie pieces or less. So this is definitely a good thing, I think.
Right. And this is another major chocolate our candy company, Mars Chocolates.
Yeah, they're the ones that have the M&Ms, the Twix.
You mean to tell me those are only going to be available in 200?
You can buy two packs.
I'm kind of naive and devastated to know that there were more than 250 calories, to be perfectly honest.
Actually, yes. A lot of this is just all in your head, you know.
It's all about the impression.
Sometimes you just want a little bit, you know. But then you've got it there and you're like, well, you know, I don't want to leave it sitting around, so I'll
just
eat the whole
thing. It's a test of your self-control.
Yeah, I have none.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so we see that what's going on then, Liz?
There's also a rebranding effort underway at Sea's. And rebranding just means that they're trying to not create a new brand per se, but they're trying to create a new image, let people look at them differently. And there's an effort underway. That means in the process.
Okay. So, and this is happening at Sea's Candy, which we talked about or started our article with, that they are 92 years old and they have this actually in their slogan. They have famous old time candies, which I don't think I would change the slogan because there's something appealing about old-time candies. You know, it's associated with quality.
Okay.
I think it's too ingrained in their image. I mean, they can change some, but that needs to stay.
Right. And what happened to their website?
It underwent a facelift to draw more shoppers. And now a facelift is an improvement made to something to make it more modern or change its appearance. When I hear this word, I often think of older women getting a facelift to make themselves look more younger or look younger. Yeah.
So that's the most common usage that we have. But actually here, they're saying that their website is undergoing a facelift.
Which is great because, first of all, online shopping is huge. If you want to find where the cash is, online shopping is where you can definitely get money. And so how are you going to attract these shoppers? By making your webpage look attractive.
And so what are they doing to make their webpage look attractive?
Well, it's interesting. Well, in addition to this facelift, they're also adding a new catalog. And with less clutter and new fonts and images. And so all of these things, interestingly enough, again, it's all about impression. It's creating a new impression, making you feel that though, yes, this is an old-fashioned candy company, but there's something fresh, something new, very attractive about them.
Well, they're still up to date.
Right.
You know, so the candy might be okay, might be good old-fashioned, in an old-fashioned way, but the company is up to date. And I think it's so interesting that it debuted or came out around Valentine's Day, which is the biggest chocolate-selling holiday of the year.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's when I love to see all the men running around trying to buy chocolate and flowers for their women. I find it funny.
Especially the chocolate.
Yeah.
Yes. And Sea's, okay, so what does it say? Who has traditionally been Sea's customers? Who have they focused on?
It says that they had focused on grandmothers and great-grandmothers. So they were definitely going with the old-fashioned part of their slogan. But now they're targeting young mothers in their 30s.
Okay.
I find that a very specific demographic, personally.
I suppose they're thinking if they get these mothers, the mothers will give their kids, so they'll bring up that generation as well.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Female consumers.
That's right.
It's always
money.
So why are they doing this? What does it need?
They need the broader demographic to beat out intense competition. And we see the word beat out. That means to basically to defeat or win, to beat your competitor.
Okay, and what about demographic here?
When we are talking about demographics, we're talking about the various people groups that you are in touch with, that you're connecting with. And here, C's is realizing that they need to not just appeal to grandmothers and great-grandmothers, they want to appeal to other people groups as well.
The younger generation.
I think that back whenever the company started, they had enough, there were enough resources to allow them to focus on just that demographic. But now with the shortage and prices going up, they have to, I mean, everyone's being forced to do this, to focus on a broader, a bigger group.
I really had no idea that that was really their focus. I mean, a lot of people buy C's chocolate.
Yeah.
So. I know. I usually get mine at the airport.
I know. They have little kiosks at the airport.
Yes.
And they're a West Coast company. I was very excited when they expanded into Minnesota, only in one place, but still.
I've never seen it in Texas. I don't think they have it in my part of the state.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't think that they go beyond much of the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
Except to Taipei. And Hong Kong. I've seen it in Hong Kong. And we see that we just know that for growth, we need to onboard a new fan base. And onboard here just means to get people or support of something for a special purpose. And this is to buy their chocolate. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is really from the vice president of marketing and advertising for C's Candies. Mm-hmm. So she really knows what she's doing. It's a difficult dance, but it's one we have to do. Good imagery. Mm-hmm. They have to like go, you know, there's lots of moves in this situation.
I know. I love the use of the word dance here because I think in anything, there's a lot. I think what she's saying, there's a lot of give and take. They have to give up some things in exchange for other things, and they're kind of dancing with their partners in a way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're at the end of our time here with you. We once again want to encourage you to write to Advanced, either on the Facebook page or to our English Corner.
Yes, that's right. You can write us at letters@studioclassroom.com, and we would love to hear from you.
Yes, and your views on what's your favorite chocolate and what do you think about this?
Yes.
Is it going to affect your purchases in the future? And we invite you to join us again tomorrow for another article on Advanced Magazine. Thank you all for joining us. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.